Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening. Welcome to The Watchman today as we proceed with, of course, what is happening across the world, which is now of extreme interest because of what it promises to add to Bible prophecy. And everything that is happening, and everything that we've been prophesying about before. As usual, I'm joined with Evangelist John Paul Akena, and we are passing through and telling you that we are edging ever and ever closer to the reality of the soon return of the Lord, and it seems to be pushing in that direction. Then we'll start, of course, we were talking about what is happening in Israel last week. And we shall proceed with that because there have been very many updates. Actually, the updates seem to be pouring in almost every single day. But I'll start by telling you about the war that we've been talking about, which is called the River Euphrates War, or which is called the Gog and Magog War, which is going to precede the coming of the Lord, and which we see has been kind of shaping up with the events that are happening across the Middle East and all the threats that are coming from all over in regard to joining the action in that place. But I'll start by telling you exactly what it is, as a way of reminder, what the Bible says about this war, so that we can start from there, and then we see what is happening and see how correlated all these things are. Now, the war is spoken about in at least two places in the scripture. I think there are three, but we shall deal with two. And I'll start with the one which is in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. And I'll read for you that portion of scripture and explain to you what it is talking about. Now it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn your back and put hooks in your jaws, and I will bring you forth, and all thy army, horses, horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers, shields, all of them handling swords." Then he proceeds to go and, you know, talk about other countries. Now, first of all, when we look at this, Gog and Magog, there are all sorts of interpretations of where this is.
Yes.
But the countries that we've come about to know that are spoken about here in this, apart from directly, the countries we get to know are, this war has to involve Iran.
Yes.
It has to involve Turkey.
Yes.
It has to involve Russia.
Yes.
Those are the three major countries. Of course, it has to involve Syria and all the countries that are around,
yes,
that are surrounding Israel right now. But then he goes on to say, after saying that, that says, "I'm against you, the old prince of Rosh, Meshach." Meshach, actually, eventually became Meskavi and eventually became Moscow, and Tubal, and "I will turn you around, I will put hooks in your jaws and lead you out, you and your armies, horses, horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers, shields, all of them handling swords." Then he goes on to say Persia, which of course is Iran.
Yes.
He goes on to say Ethiopia, which can be Ethiopia, but can also mean any black African country, because in the Bible, all black African countries are all referred to as Ethiopia.
Yes.
And so, but it could actually involve Ethiopia also.
Yes.
And Libya. Now, Libya means Libya.
Yes.
Mm. "And all of them with shield and helmet. Goma and all its troops. The house of Togoma from the far north and all its troops. Many people are with you." But Gog and Magog also, as you study the areas that, yes, were once called that, spreads into China.
Yes.
So, there is a debate about India, but I'm not so sure about India, but I know Russia and China are definitely going to be involved in this war. Mm. Then he says, "Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be visited. In the latter days, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered for many people on the mountains of Israel." Now, this is talking about Israel, which was scattered, as you know, mm, and which was brought back, mm, and then these people will come against them, the mountains of Israel,
yes,
which had long been desolate. Mm. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely.
Mm.
You will ascend, coming into a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops, and many peoples with you.
Yes.
Then it says, thus says the Lord, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited. Remember, the land of Israel was once uninhabited. Now it is inhabited. And against the people gathered from the nations, of course talking about Israel, who have acquired livestock, goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Now, I'll go ahead and at the end of that chapter, just to cut it a bit short, then it says, and shall come to pass, now I'm picking it up from verse 18 of Ezekiel chapter 38. It says, and shall come to pass at that time, when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord, that my fury will show in my face. Now, these are a bit of the things which are going to happen. And now I'm going to read these ones which are in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. And again, I'll read those which are in the book of Revelation chapter 9, which also speaks about the same war. And we'll see and we'll start correlating what is said here, what is said there, and what is happening right now to see if this is the time or if this is the war, if there is a possibility that it could be. And then we shall find out what the will of the Lord is. Is this the time that it is supposed to happen? Because it could be prophesied and it could be it is going to come to pass. But the question is it the time now?
Yes.
If it is not time now, then we have to pray about it. But in all, we have to pray for the peace of Israel.
Yes.
Okay, we have to pray and preserve the nation of Israel.
Yes.
Because that's a very, very important thing for us as the spiritual Israel. And so it shall come to pass at that time, at the same time, when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord. I'm reading from verse 18 of the book of Ezekiel 38. That my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth, shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with the pestilence and with bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on many peoples who are with him, flooding rains, great hailstones, fire and brimstone.
Yes.
Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, there are key things you have to pick out here. Number one, we spoke about the countries. Now you should know that for sure. But the second thing is that when they come against Israel, Israel is isolated.
Yes.
Israel does not have any allies
who
are with them. They are on their own because God wants the glory for himself. He does not want to share glory with America.
No.
Okay? He wants the glory for himself. He wants everyone to come and see that when Israel comes out winner, there will be no option but people to know that it is the hand of God.
Yes.
Because if it is the hand of America, then now it's confusing. But here he says, I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord.
Yes.
Now, the purpose of him to know that I am God, because they are coming up against the land of Israel,
okay,
which he swore. Now, I want to make this very clear to you. This land which he swore to Abraham, that he will give it to his descendants.
Yes.
But now there are people who want to say that, no, Israel has no right to be there.
Yes.
And God says, I am the Lord. I give what I want. I made the earth.
Yes.
I did not consult you when I was making it. So I'll give any portion of the earth to whomsoever I please.
Mm.
Now, you have to come to terms with that. Otherwise, you'll be in serious trouble at some stage or another. Now, certain things happen here. Then he goes on to say in chapter 39, and you, son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, Tobel. We read this same way it started in chapter 38, I mean. It says, and I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from far north, straight up Turkey and so on.
Yes.
And bring you against the mountains of Israel. Now, here it shows that this comes, the mountains of Israel, which for the most part would mean like the Golan Heights.
Yes.
Or the northern part of Israel.
Yes.
And then it says, then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and your troops and the people who are with you, and I will give you to birds of prey of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord. And I will send fire on Magog, on those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of Israel.
Yes.
And I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord. This is the day of which I have spoken. Now, before I fully explain this, I want Akena to read for me from Revelation chapter 9, where it also talks about the same thing. Read, I think, the whole thing. I think it starts from verse 13.
Yes. Revelation 9, verse 13 says, then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I had the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of the mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Yes.
So now here is what it's saying, and we've spoken about this severally before. A war which starts in the around that place.
Yes.
Here in this case, River Euphrates.
River Euphrates.
Now, River Euphrates, you know, starts in Turkey.
Yes.
Now, Turkey has to be involved in this
yes.
war. Starts in Turkey and then goes through Syria and then
yes. Iraq.
Iraq.
Yes.
For the most part, it only touches at the border of Iraq and Iran as it is emptying into the Persian Gulf.
Yes.
So you could say there are four nations, but that is straight. Really, it's the river just only touches the border of Iraq and Iran. So now it starts from there.
Yes.
And then it spreads because it says an army of 200 million people. And John the Revelator said that I saw their number.
Yes.
200 million people. But then he also described something which I found interesting because he said they were dressed with breastplates of fiery red and blue,
hyacinth blue
and then
sulfur yellow.
And now that is exactly the uniform of Russia.
Yes.
They have something around the chest of, fiery red.
Yes.
And then the rest of the uniform is blue and yellow.
Yellow, yes.
So when I saw that, I said, now this Russia has to be there because I actually hadn't even noticed it. I'd read breast, and I was saying, fiery red, what, So I was looking around. Then I saw a picture at that time, actually, how ironic this is. I saw a picture of Netanyahu inspecting a guard of honor in Russia. He was on a state visit in Russia.
Yes.
And then I saw their uniforms. And then I said, this is exactly what
the scripture is saying.
The Bible is describing. Yes. And it has exactly a breastplate, the way you'd have. You go and check it out. So, an army of 200 million people. And previously, when we started looking here, we were saying, where is 200 million people going to come from?
Yes.
Because John the Revelator clearly said he saw their number.
Yes.
So now, where is that army, such a huge army, going to come from? Especially since these days, armies are much smaller because a lot of the fighting is done through technology.
Yes.
So I was asking, where is this army going to come from? Then, also at some stage, There was a report, which I read in English, but it had run in a Turkish newspaper.
Yes.
And it was saying that all the Islamic nation
yes.
should come up against Israel and remove that, what they call it, the cancer of Israel.
Yes. Mm.
Said all the entirety of the Islamic nation.
Yes.
And the newspaper went to describe how some of those Islamic nations have nuclear weapons,
yes.
specifically Pakistan.
Yes.
I think it's the only one that has nuclear weapons. So he says
right now.
Pakistan joins, Indonesia joins with its incredible numbers. That's a very big country, about 300 million people.
Yes.
Then all the these other, you know, Iraq, Iran, Jordan, Syria, all these other,
yes.
what he calls the Islamic nation,
yes.
including Saudi Arabia,
yes.
who were at some stage on the verge of signing a peace deal with Israel
yes.
until October 7th happened.
Yes.
So when they calculated in the newspaper,
yes.
the number of soldiers, if all those countries sent their armies,
mm.
the number of soldiers that they would boots they would have on the ground was actually 214 million.
Wow.
So I said, hey, so now finally I know where the 200 million is going to come from.
Yes.
Because none of these countries, I'll tell you this, China doesn't even have an army of 1 million. Mm. If you add the reserves, they come to about 1.6.
Yes.
And yet they're a country of 1 billion people, mm. in excess of 1 billion people.
Mm.
So now saying, if even China just makes 1 million, where is the 199 million going
coming
to come from?
Yes.
To make the 200 million mm. that John the Revelator saw.
Yes.
So now I saw that the entirety of the Islamic nation. Now for this to be the war, all these countries have to join.
Yes.
Libya, a bit of yeah. the northern part of Africa,
yes. mm.
has to join in the war.
Mm.
And now there has to be a sufficient enough reason for them to feel that this is the time for us
yes.
to come out
mm.
and indulge ourselves with this war. And then also when you combine that scripture, the scripture from Revelation talking about the River Euphrates War, as we
yes.
call it,
mm.
and then you also combine it with what we've read in Ezekiel,
yes.
you know that they will come through the northern part of Israel
yes.
and they will descend on Israel.
Yes.
And then God has even indicated here exactly how he's going to sort that.
Yes.
And it's described in a very clear version. Some people would want us to, you know, it to say certain things,
yes.
but it is saying them, but only not in the language you use these days. For instance, it says, first of all, we know that when this war comes, it's going to kill 1/3 of humanity.
Yes.
So if it came now, we are talking about 2.5 billion people
yes.
who are going to die.
Yes.
2.5 billion people. That's a huge number of people
yes.
who are going to die through this war. And now also that one is specifically mentioned in the book of Revelation,
hmm.
1/3 of mankind.
Yes.
And it means 1/3 of mankind. But now for it to kill 1/3 of mankind,
yes. hmm.
it has to be a certain kind of war.
Yes.
Now it shows here that Israel is going to have to use nuclear weapons.
Yes.
Because if you are a country with about 20 million people, and you are attacked, 20 million people, or that includes everybody.
Everybody.
Women, children, and so on. And you are attacked by 200 million people.
Yes.
And you have nuclear weapons.
Yes.
You're facing an existential threat.
Yes.
And Israel has already said that they would use their nuclear weapons if they feel they are facing an existential threat.
Yes.
And if that happened, they would be facing that precisely. So then they would be forced to use it. And the scripture says they will use it. Where does it say that? Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 22.
Yes.
It says, I'll bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed, and I'll rain down on him, on his troops, and on many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Okay?
Yes.
And now that is fire, and that's a description of
yes.
nuclear weapons,
mm.
fire and brimstone.
Mm.
And elsewhere in Zechariah,
yes.
mm. Zechariah talks about, you know, their meat will melt off their
yes.
body
yes.
while they are standing,
mm.
and their eyes will melt out of their sockets.
Yes.
Now that obviously is nuclear weapons.
Yes.
And then hails and hailstones and fire.
Mm.
So Israel will have to use their nuclear weapons first.
Yes.
So what the scripture says is that they will launch a preemptive strike.
Yes.
And then it says, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord.
Yes.
Now, that said, so an army of 200 million people are coming from through the north of Israel, and involving the entirety of the Arab nation. That's not in the scripture, but if we are to get 200 million people, I think it will have to be. That involves Turkey, that involves Russia, that involves China.
Yes.
And so many of the other countries.
Yes.
That we've mentioned. So now that we know that, tell me what is happening, what has been happening in Israel since last week when we spoke about it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The war is continuing. And then the amazing part of the thing is, what I'm seeing right now is the involvement of Iran. And not just verbally, but they're actually trying to really come into the war. You remember they started from the point where they said it's okay. They were not showing their opinion clearly.
Mm.
And they were actually refusing that they were not part of the people who sponsored Hamas to come and attack Israel. But when days came by, it started being seen clearly that Iran has a hand in the support of Hamas attacking Israel.
Because they were even saying it is Iran that gave the command that invade now.
Yes.
And they are the ones who have been, of course, planning.
Yes.
And we know that now Iran has a lot of money.
Yes.
To support terrorism. Because when Trump left office, he had hammered Iran financially to the point that actually their reserves were down to $4 billion.
Mm.
Now, in these years of Biden, their reserves went up to almost $130 billion.
Mm.
So now they have a war chest with which to fight,
yes,
to build their nuclear weapons,
yes,
with which to fight using their proxy forces.
Yes.
And Israel says they will not allow Iran to get the nuclear weapon. Iran wants to get the nuclear weapon.
Yes.
So the only way they are actually going to ever get it,
yes,
is by first either keeping Israel very busy on another front,
yes,
until they wake up and they find Iran has the nuclear weapon. That's,
yes,
very unlikely. Or they actually hammer Israel,
yes,
and subdue it.
Yes.
Now you can see they are planning to, because first of all, apart from them giving the command,
yes,
and actually showing that they are in total control,
yes,
of all of this.
Mm.
How many million people volunteered in Iran to go and fight against Israel? I mean, 2.something million. About 2.something million Iranians,
yes,
volunteered that they want to go and fight in favor of Palestine.
Yes.
Now we already have the 2 out of the 200 million.
Yes.
So now that 198 million left,
yes,
for John's revelation to come. Russia has also been very, very suspicious.
Yes.
Okay, more than suspicious.
Yes.
Clearly on the side of Iran,
yes,
and on the side of the Palestinians.
Yes.
Because, first of all, Russia was, before I go to Russia,
yes,
Iran told Israel that if they start their ground offensive,
yes,
they are going to have an earthquake.
Yes.
And I found that interesting, because that's exactly what Ezekiel says.
Yes.
That there will be an earthquake.
Yes.
Only, but Iran doesn't mean that kind of earthquake.
Yes.
That the kind that only God can,
yes,
do. But they said there will be an earthquake.
Let me interject a bit.
Mm.
Now, a few days ago, Iranian foreign minister, again, came from Iran and entered, and they had a meeting with all the Hamas leaders in Beirut.
Mm.
That's one of the key things which I said, okay, this is a very clear sign. And not just meeting anyone, but meeting Hamas leaders. Of course, he cannot meet them maybe in Gaza or wherever. He had to meet them there. So that is one of the thing I'm seeing about their involvement. Like, they are coming so vocal.
Yeah, and
yes,
now it's open. At,
yes,
the beginning, they said, we didn't even know. Also, us were taken,
yes,
by surprise.
Mm.
But I think at some stage they realized maybe this is the time to go,
yes,
and sort this issue.
Yes.
Because Israel says they want to sort Hamas.
Yes.
And probably with it, Iran.
Yes.
But now maybe Iran also thinks this is the time for us to sort Israel,
yes,
once and for all. So now it's everybody trying to sort the other,
yes,
once and for all. So now Iran, of course, clearly,
yes,
and saying that if Israel enters into a ground offensive in,
yes,
Gaza, that they will suffer,
yes,
an earthquake. That's,
yes,
what Iran said clearly now.
Yes.
And they're not talking an earthquake from their proxies.
No.
I think they're talking now an earthquake from themselves.
Yes.
And they are now already even calling off reservists in Iran in preparation for a possible war.
Mm.
Now that's how far it has gone.
Yes. Then one of the things which they're saying is that, because there's something which I've been reading, that from the time Iranian Revolution happened in 1979, they vowed that one of their major goals of existence is to take away Israel from where they are.
Yes.
So they have been working on all that, and with their, of course, technology and building up ammunitions. But there has been also a thing about them is that in 2015 they had some kind of an embargo, which was put on their manufacturing, selling of all their ammunitions, and also testing. But of course, Trump had to, when he came, he had to release some of those embargo. But again, UN also did that in 2020. Now that one ended today, which is October.
Yes.
And that is going to give them a leeway to continue with testing, selling, and everything which they have been doing about ammunition.
Yes.
And that's one thing which area where I'm seeing that this can actually magnify this war.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because if this turns out to be that Gog and Magog war,
yes,
it seems almost as if it's perfect timing for Iran.
Yes.
It came when Israel seemed to be split.
Yes.
And now they are actually winning the propaganda war all over the
yes,
all over the world now. Everybody is fighting for Palestine. What yes, demonstrations for yes, Palestine? They are
everywhere,
very good at propaganda, and they don't mind what the cost of the propaganda is, because now when Israel has been bombing in Gaza, they send what are called mock bombs,
yes,
something which comes and hits the top of the building and everybody hears, but doesn't bomb the building.
Yes.
It's just to warn civilians, leave the building. It gives them like an hour to leave, otherwise it's going to be bombed.
Yes.
But now what has been happening is Hamas has been telling people, stay there and they bomb you there, because they need corpses to show the world that what? Ah, Israel is very bad.
Oh, yes.
And yet Israel is actually trying to warn them, leave. Yes. We are going to bomb this building. Because of course, they know some of those buildings have the launchers that have been sending rockets all the other way and so on. So now Hamas, they don't care, they don't value life whatsoever.
No. Mm.
And they have showed it, even the lives of their people.
Yes.
And it's clearly shown. But then, that aside, you want to add something?
Yes. Mm. Now, you said that they don't care, because one of the agenda and them controlling the narrative also is the point that yesterday they were trying to launch some rockets from Gaza. And when they were launching, it's the hand of God. The rockets failed to go to the direction where they wanted, and it fell on an hospital
in Gaza.
In Gaza. Mm. So now they started controlling the narrative that this is done by Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, and actually many people were even around the world, they were saying that this is Israel doing this work. And they were saying it killed about 300 people.
Mm.
And people, of course, Israel came and refused that they didn't. Of course, they went on with intelligence and trying to see how this thing was, and it was realized that it wasn't them. But still, they had already gone ahead.
They are extremely good at propaganda.
Yes.
Now it turns out even America is finding out that saying that it wasn't Israel that in the hospital.
Yes.
Because the truth is, Israel fire is very precision.
Yes,
they are not just hittings.
No,
anyhow, they know precisely which targets they are hitting. And they are doing everything within their power to minimize civilian casualties.
Yes.
You will not hear that, of course, on the news or in the propaganda, because Hamas using Iran.
Yes.
By the way, even Iran has very serious bots.
Yes.
Like which will go and attack any celebrity who appears to show support for Israel. They have been preparing for this for a long time.
Yes.
And so many people fall for their propaganda.
Yeah.
And because they don't know the history of all these things.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to just maybe give some of you a bit of a history. But now here is the thing. Then, as Israel is preparing to launch the ground offensive into Gaza, guess what happens? Hezbollah in Lebanon has 100,000 rockets
pointing
ready to be thrown into Israel.
Yes.
Now, the Iron Dome technology can just save some of those, but cannot save all of them. The way they do it in a way that it overwhelms the Iron Dome technology.
Mm.
They know some of them will be lost, but as long as a good number of them fall into Israel.
Yes.
Now those ones are already, and Israel is already, has even now opened another front of a war up north
In Lebanon.
Fighting Hezbollah.
Yes.
While they are entering Gaza on this side, on the east,
yes,
on the west rather, to knock down Hamas.
Yes.
And then there are also others, even the Houthis are preparing now to attack Israel.
Yes.
So you can see it is almost a perfect storm,
yes,
as far as Israel is concerned, everybody
yes.
concerned.
Mm.
Then when Israel wants to go into Gaza, mm. then Russia suggests to the UN that there should be a ceasefire.
Yes.
But now ceasefire, after Hamas has hammered us,
yes.
we are going to retaliate, ceasefire, ceasefire.
Yes.
And now that's what usually happens.
Yes.
But now the UN rejected that.
Yes,
as biased as they are against Israel, they rejected that.
Yes.
And but then also China is also coming in now.
Yes.
Clearly on the side of the Palestinians.
Yes.
And Iran and Russia.
Yes.
Because they were saying now this has exceeded the scope of retaliation.
That's
this
true.
Is now open war. This is, you know, and they are saying, making statements which are not responsible.
Yes.
But you can see they have taken a side.
Mm.
Now, Turkey, Israel has already told its citizens to leave Turkey.
Yes.
Because there are very serious anti-Israel riots in Turkey. So Israel
very
has
much.
Told its citizens to leave Turkey.
Yes.
So now, almost all the countries mm. that are mentioned here in the Bible that will be part of the Gog and Magog war
yes.
are almost there. Syria, it's already happening. There's already an army, Iranian army stationed
yes.
at the Golan Heights,
yes.
almost ready to launch.
Yes.
So Syria is there now.
Yes.
So now, who is left? Iraq, they are using Iraq. You know,
yes.
a lot of Iran is using a lot of the space in Iraq
yeah.
because Iraq is a bit of a confused country.
Mm.
So now, it's almost like the perfect storm. What is left is Libya,
yes,
Ethiopia,
yes,
and a few others.
Yes,
for us to say now, yes. everything has been set.
Yes.
for the Gog and Magog, and then
yes.
perhaps the entirety of the what of the Islamic nation.
Yes,
and now the way the Muslims across the world, Muslim countries across the world, are so angry about what is
very
happening,
much.
It is possible that this could be it.
Yes.
So now, if this is the Gog and Magog war or the sixth trumpet war,
mm.
remember the seventh trumpet
is the second coming.
Is the second coming of
yes.
the Lord Jesus Christ.
But first of all.
So if this is the sixth
yes.
trumpet, then you just know that
yes.
we have moved all of the trumpets
mm.
and now the only one that is left is the second coming.
Yes.
Mm. yes.
Now, in brief,
mm.
the first trumpet, as you've been teaching us, was the First World War.
Mm.
And it happened 1914
to 18.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The second trumpet was the Second World War,
mm-hmm.
1939 to 45.
Mm-hmm.
The third trumpet was the Chernobyl mm-hmm. nuclear
mm-hmm.
disaster,
mm-hmm.
which happened in 1968.
1986, actually.
Oh, okay, 86.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then the fourth trumpet, mm-hmm. it happens. But it happens in a mysterious way, which
mm.
you said that a third of the day,
mm.
a third of the night,
mm.
and were cut off.
Mm.
And then also a third of the sun did not
mm.
shine, a third of the moon
mm.
also did not shine.
Mm.
And that one, you actually interpreted it to us that that's the reason why these days move so fast.
Mm.
If you compare it to like maybe 10 years or 20 years ago.
No, not 10.
Yes.
It was still moving fast 10 years ago.
Yes.
It would have, you would have to be somebody older to remember.
Yes.
Okay. And it almost feels like that.
Yes.
But now, what? Then there was the fifth trumpet. But now the sixth trumpet
yes.
is the River Euphrates War.
War. Yes.
Now the River Euphrates War, if it does actually happen.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
With these events that we are talking about.
Yes.
Then you just know that we are really, really close.
Yes.
We are really close.
Yes.
This might not be it.
Yes.
We are just saying it is beginning to shape. In a way that we are suspecting
yes.
this could be it. Because
yes.
we've told you why we suspect this could be it. But if it is actually it,
yes.
this Gog and Magog or River Euphrates War, then just know we are really, really, really on the precipice
yes.
of the second coming of the Lord, or even actually of the rapture.
Because, yes.
because the second coming is even later.
Yes.
So precipice of the rapture. So now, I just want you to know that the events happening in the world concerned you. Don't think that this is some war happening on the news
yes.
somewhere in Israel. My God, it does
mm.
concern you. And somebody told me, actually this morning,
yes.
that she had a dream. And in the dream, this war had spread. And countries were like, you know, some kind of glass.
Mm.
Then she was standing there with her children. And then they come and break through the glass, and the danger comes to Uganda as well. And in the dream, the Lord told her that, don't think this is far away. If you don't pray for Israel, it will come right to your doorstep. And you see now, I want you to get that message, because it's very important. Many people think that I have other things to pray about. I need a piece of land. I need water. You know.
Yes.
Now, just know that this will come to your doorstep if you do not pray. Because what happens in natural Israel often will happen to the church.
Yes.
In that order.
Yes.
Now, in the order of first Israel, natural Israel, then, you know, the church.
Mm.
So I want you to know that this is coming. If we do not handle this the way the Lord expects us to handle it, by praying for Israel, it could very easily turn into a disaster for us as well. So I hope you've gotten that message. But let me just give you a rundown of this.
Yes.
In the land which is called Palestine, once covered all that, you know, place which was called Israel. After the Ottoman Empire and all those people, that place was called Palestine after the Jews' biggest enemies, the Philistines.
Yes.
And it was just left desolate. It was just left there desolate. Nobody was interested in that piece of land whatsoever.
Yes.
So now when the British came and started creeping in there and had a mandate over it, and Jews before the Second World War were getting very uncomfortable in Europe because they had been, you know, persecuted here and there. So some of them were going to that land.
Yes.
Then the Arabs rose up. Because, you know, the thing is, where the Jews go, they turn it around. They use some sort of, now it was a good fertile land. So the Arabs turned around, and the British gave the Jews a very small strip, which now is on the Mediterranean, which was Tel Aviv, Jaffa, and a few, a very small strip. And the rest, which was Jordan, was turned into Palestine. That was actually 1927 or something like that. It was turned into Palestine. Now, after that, then Palestine was there, then, but there was a bit which was given to the Jews. It wasn't called Israel, but was given to the Jews. Now, after the 1947 UN vote, Israel was given a bigger piece of land, and did these other people, that cut small part was which was named Palestine. Those people were left there. Now, a lot of it was cut out and given to Jordan. Jordan also started in the 1900s as a nation, was given to Jordan. But now, interestingly, Jordan refused to take any of the Palestinians into their country, even if they took a lot of land from what was previously Palestine. They refused to take any Palestinian into their country. None of the Arab countries took their fellow Arabs into their country. Even now, even Egypt will not allow a single Palestinian to go there.
Actually, even in this war, they are
blocked. They are blocked. The only country, actually, that allowed Palestinians to enter them is Israel. Right now, there are 2 million Arab people who are citizens of Israel. They even have they have members in the Knesset, which is the Israeli parliament. They even have one of the top judges who is an Arab in Israel. The only country is Israel that actually took up Palestinians. But now, after all that happened, after they were attacked, Israel went and expanded its land and took over the Sinai Peninsula and all that. Now they gave back Sinai to Egypt. They had captured it in the that in the 1967 war. They gave it back to Egypt, and Egypt gave, you know, a peace agreement with them. That's why you will not see Egypt joining the countries that are attacking them. Now, if Egypt had been one of the Gog and Magog countries, it would have been mentioned as Egypt, because Egypt has been Egypt from Genesis. It will not be, you know, so, but they will not be among them. Because Israel gave voluntarily gave back Sinai and gave back some of the other you know, areas it had captured in 1967. The last piece it gave away was actually Gaza. 2005. It is when they entered an agreement and they gave it away. And Israel kept on trying to come up with a peace deal. But the truth is, I'm hearing everybody saying two-state solution. There is no, and I've said that before, they do not want a two-state solution. They want to take over Israel, and that is their stated aim. Now, the three people who are largely leading this campaign against Israel, number one, the Islamic Jihad. They have stated clearly that their purpose, kill all the Jews and take Israel away from the map. That's their purpose. Hamas, in their charter, which was written in 1987, said their purpose is to to erase Israel from there, whatever, and kill all the Jews who are there, and drive them away from there.
Yes.
So is Hezbollah.
Yes.
So is all these other terrorist groups. So now the thing is, they have deceived people that they are fighting for land. They are not fighting for land.
No.
When they were given Gaza, they became even more vicious.
Yes.
Because remember, that was part of
Israel.
Yeah. And they were given that land, and they say open air prison. That is also rubbish.
Yes.
They offered them to have a state of their own, and Israel only said they will have 3% monitoring role on the things which come there for their own safety.
Mm.
But what did the Palestinians do? They went and elected Hamas as their leaders.
Mm.
And Hamas says they want the destruction of Israel.
Yes.
So now, all these people who are going around the world, we stand with Palestine. The Jews are not going to allow to die because you stand with Palestine.
No.
If you want to stand with them, go there. Okay?
Yes.
Because somebody, Israel is the only country in the world that, number one, identifies as a Jewish state. There are so many countries that identify as Arab states.
Yes.
Okay? Or as Islamic states. Mm. Judaism, being a Jew is both an identity and a religion.
Yes.
Okay? Mm. Now, there are 47 countries that identify as Muslim countries.
Yes.
There's only one that identifies as a Jewish country.
Yes.
There are so many countries that identify as Arab countries.
Yes.
There's only one that identifies as a Jewish country.
Mm.
But all the 47 want this one to be destroyed before they are happy.
Mm.
But thankfully, the one is mightier than them all.
Yes.
Okay? Because Israel has a right to exist.
Yes.
The Jewish people have a right to exist.
Yes.
And they have a might to defend themselves.
Yes.
So they have both the right and the might.
Might.
If they did not have the might, they would have been destroyed long time ago. Remember, Egypt attacked them in 1967, saying they are going to wash the sand with the blood of the Jews. So now, what do you do if you're a Jew? Are you going to just surrender and go and be killed?
No.
You know, there are stupid people who are moving all over. They stand with Palestine. Do you know what they stand for? Before you stand with them, do you know what they stand for? Okay? I've told you what they stand for. In their charter, it is written their purpose is to eradicate Israel and kill all the Jews. And they don't even say the Jews in that Israel. No.
Everywhere.
They say they want to kill all the Jews all over the world.
Yes.
Now, if you're a Jew, what would you do? If somebody came and said, if you're Muganda, and somebody came and said, my purpose is to kill all Muganda, and then somebody else comes and says, or let's say Akena, who is not from Muganda, comes and says, I stand with Kableta wants to kill Baganda. What would you think? The Baganda would have a right to fight and, and defend themselves. So it is with Israel. And I want to tell you, Israel is the only country in the world which is surrounded by countries which vow that they will never rest until Israel is destroyed.
Yes.
Imagine if you are in Uganda and Kenya says that we will never rest until Uganda has been wiped away the face of the earth.
Yes.
Tanzania says the same. Rwanda says the same. Congo says the same. South Sudan says the same. And you're here in Uganda. Now, really, Israel is the only country which is like that, which has been there for 75 years, but there are people who say we do not recognize it.
Yes.
Like, so it is a unique situation. You have to know before you stand with somebody, before you stand with Palestinians who are ruled by Hamas, know that Palestinian Liberation Organization, in their charter, kill all the Jews.
Yes.
Hamas, in their charter, kill all the Jews.
Yes.
Islamic Jihad,
in
their charter, kill all the Jews. Thankfully, they cannot kill them because the Jews are mightier than them.
Yes.
But everybody has the right to defend themselves.
Yes.
So now, if you go and stupidly say, me, I stand with Palestine and what? Just know you're a fool.
Yeah.
Okay, I will not put it in a better way. You're a fool.
Yes.
Because stand with them to do what?
Yes.
To eradicate an entire race? So this is a new Hitler. You're standing with somebody who says, I want to kill an entire race of people. How can you even do that?
Yes.
So now.
Yes, because now, like, this is, like, it's a matter of existence. And once they are taken off, actually they can't because God, we know that they are.
We know what the Bible says is going to happen.
Yes, but we have to actually educate some people because you just fall along with what is you see in the media. And that one is actually propaganda, which has been sold to you from a point where they want you to follow their narrative. And the thing is, you have to first understand, and that's the one thing which I believe you have labored to even explain in other end-time topics and end-time things, that there are agendas, and these agendas comes to us through all these things, which are maybe the media and all that. But First of all, you first have to understand the real truth.
The history. Because there's a lot of things which have been twisted over the years.
Yes. Mm. And now when it is twisted, and for you just fall along with it, you end up going in the wrong side.
You become as twisted as it.
Yes.
Now, of course, there's an argument which people make. Mm. And we are human beings.
Yes.
And we have our, you know, sympathies and empathies and so on.
Yes.
Now, the minute Hamas attacked Israel, I was seeing people, innocent people in Palestine.
Yes.
Running for their lives. I was seeing women with their children because they knew there was going to be a retaliation.
Yes.
So I was seeing people running with their children and trying to get out of that place. And like, I know what that feels, that you've been comfortable. And then because through no fault of yours, you now expect that life is going to become miserable, completely miserable. And now over 50% of the Palestinian population is under 18. So that means so many of them are not even of fighting age. So many of them are so many innocents, so many children. Now that is really sad. However, you have to know that the people who least value the lives of the Palestinians are Hamas.
Yes.
Because as I've told you, Israel gave them days to leave certain places and said, please, innocent people, leave here and move to the north. There you will be protected. Mm-hmm. And guess who told them not to move? Hamas.
Actually, they started by saying it's fake news.
Hey.
Israel has not said that. That's fake news. Hey. That's what they started by saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because they actually are very good at propaganda. And they have so many journalists who are there just on their propaganda thing. Now, the other thing I've noticed, so now Israel is trying, so before it bombs a building, it sends a mock bomb. Mm. They call them mock bombs.
Yes.
To warn people. It comes with a siren. Mm. Please leave this building. In 1 hour, it's going to be pulled down. And when they are trying to run away, Hamas comes and surrounds the building and says, stay there and die. Mm. This is what is actually has been happening. And these are their fellow Palestinians. Mm. But now, the world wants Israel to be more, mindful of Palestinian lives than the Palestinians are mindful of their own lives. Mm. Then America, there is the wonder of America, paying absolute lip service to Israel. But they also have to be removed out of the way if this is the Gog and Magog war. Because it's absolute lip service. Mm. And I told you this before.
Yes.
The Biden administration, which is run by Obama, they brought some war ship there.
Yes.
But they're telling Israel, no, wait, don't attack. And this is a time-limited thing.
Yes.
If Israel stays there and procrastinates over the ground offensive in Gaza, the fire is going to come from Lebanon.
Yes. And it has started.
It has started.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because right now, there has been increasing attacks, rockets fired from which is the northern side, from Lebanon into Israel. Mm. And actually, it has caused Israel to take their troops to go and defend. Mm. Because each and every single day, you find that either three or four times where they are firing rockets fire from Lebanon. Mm. So, like, and the scripture says it's going to come far north of Israel. Mm. So that's one front which we are also seeing.
But also they are also coming out from Syria.
Yes. Mm.
So and there are so many others in Iraq.
Iraq. Yeah. Yes. Mm. So all this which we are seeing is forming up properly it's laying like a real foundation for what we know as this war, the River Euphrates War, Gog and Magog War. Mm. So, like you said, that Egypt is not going to be
involved.
Yeah. Mm. Now, do you know amazing part is that is the Egyptian president came out for the first time, and it's the only first president or Islamic country to declare that they stand with Israel. Of course, not declaring that they stand with Israel, but they said Israel has a right to defend themselves.
Yeah.
And also in the other, which I told you about, the fires in the hospital, the bomb which Hamas was saying it's Israel who did it, and yet they were the one who did it. And it was just because their rockets, missiles, which were launched from there failed. So the president of Egypt came out and said that now it wasn't done by Israel. It was done by Hamas. Yes.
So now Egypt, and you can see, because as I told you, if Egypt were going to be involved, they would be mentioned as Egypt.
Yes.
Not as Tubal or something like that, because they have been in the Bible all along. Now, the thing is, here is what we are waiting for. if it is going to be the that war. Number one, America. Israel attacks Iran. That you can almost see that in the offing.
Yes.
Unless like it's not the timing of the Lord and you know something happens. Israel attacking Iran because Iran now is up front involved in this war. And Israel might want to go to the base, yes?
Now, there's someone who asked one of the top IDF officer, Israel defense officer. He asked that, will Israel attack Iran? And then his response was saying that, he responded and said that, if we do that, the next day we shall be in a world war. So even Israel, they know that if we attack Iran, it will lead to the world war. That's what he said. That, of course, he had to not mention his name just for to cover him up.
Now, here is how the world war is going to shape up.
Yes.
And this is, it's here in the Bible.
Yes.
Turkey, Iran, of course, and all these other forces of Iran, Iraq, Syria, Russia, China, and the entirety of the Islamic world come up against Israel.
Yes.
And America pulls out, actually, would almost be on the fence, just basically lukewarm, the way they've been.
Yes.
And that's what I've said, they're very, very lukewarm. Because I'll tell you this, if the Bidens really wanted to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, they would do what Trump did.
Very well.
Because they didn't have money for the nuclear weapon. They, they were running on a meager budget, and they had to take care of essentials. Because he had put sanctions which completely tied them up. So their nuclear thing was delayed. What did Biden do? Biden came and allowed them to go ahead, like almost without stating that he had removed the sanctions, but actually did actions that pointed in that direction, and Iran started now doing business again and sponsoring their terrorists again. Then America still gives a lot of money to Palestinian Authority, which money they use to pay the families of martyrs who go and die killing Jews. And they still give them money. Now, what Trump knew was how to solve this issue with money. Because without money, people can't do anything. He first cut, completely cut Palestinian money. Now to the bare minimum. And now the Palestinians, because they use the money to build tunnels. This is what Israel is trying to go and destroy.
Right now.
Deep, deep tunnels, some of them miles down. Where, like,
they cannot,
bombs cannot get there. So you have to enter inside there and find them there. And now tunnel warfare is very, very, very dangerous because you, when you enter there, it's almost like a suicide thing. There is a very little chance that you come out. Either way, the Israelis or what, very little chance that they come out. And then they have kept their Israeli hostages there in the tunnels. As a protection, as some kind of human shields. If you come here to hit us in the tunnels, you have to first hit your people before you get to us. So imagine Israeli captives here, and in the middle of them, Hamas fighters. So they have done this thing. So, and now all American support is lukewarm.
Very much.
Very lukewarm. They are saying one thing and doing another. Now, even in America, the whole Palestinian thing has caught fire. People, you know, so many people, but because of course there are so many of them there. To the point that even some cities now across the world, you saw even a football match involving Belgium was cancelled. Because there was a terrorist threat in Brussels. And then the other day, there was a Kenyan Airlines flight, which was landing in London, and they survived because they had, apparently, they had intelligence that it had bombs. So when they are about to land in London, they see MiGs surrounding the plane and pushing them in another direction. So they went to another direction, and then the people came out of the plane, and there were no bombs. It was fake intelligence. But imagine now if you're in such a plane. And you because you see, you know that if the pilot even dares hesitate, they will bring down your plane. If they are convinced that you are going to land at London Heathrow with bombs, they will bring down your plane because the few people who will die in the plane will save probably save more people. So now there's a lot of tension because of all this thing across the world. And it's going into Europe. It is going into America. It's going all over the world. So now the, this whole thing is becoming... we just need to pray. Need to pray.
That's actually, that's one thing I wanted to say, is that we know, because one of the key thing we know in the end time calendar of God, which is to come, the next event to come in the calendar of God is this war, and then it will end up leading us into the agreement, peace agreement between Israel and of course, the people, the nations which have involved themselves in the war. And then, of course, that will start the next last 7 years of human government. And at the end of the seventh year, that is when the second coming will be.
The second coming, yes, the Battle of Armageddon.
Battle of Armageddon, then the real second coming. But one of the things which you said that earlier, that what do we need to do now that we know all this, is if it is not yet, because there are a lot of factors which comes around the end time, which one of them is the coming of on top of the church, and how we as children of God should come on top. And you said something that, which is in the scripture, in Psalms 122 verse 6. Pray for the peace of Israel. May they prosper who love you. And it will take us to pray for the peace of Israel, because once we sought Israel, even what would have prepared and drawn close to what this war could be, can the Lord can have mercy on us and take it forward the years, and maybe for it to come sometime in the years to come.
Because now what you're talking about, the seven-year agreement spoken of in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, is because right now there is no agreement that can be agreed upon, because Israel has actually bent over backwards so much in terms of giving land, giving, you know, assurances, even over the Temple Mount. At some stage, they wanted to give up their sovereignty over the Temple Mount and surrender it to a five-nation committee, sort of, which also had, you know, Jordan and all those things, Egypt and so on. But the Palestinians walked away. Every time that Israel has come up with something and almost prepared to give a lot, the Palestinians walk away. So now, I was saying, knowing what Israel has offered before, and knowing that they cannot go beyond that, they cannot offer to give Jerusalem.
No.
They can. That is the one thing they are not going to give.
Yes.
Now you'd have to come and fight them for them to give up Jerusalem.
Yes.
And defeat them. So now, what else can be put on the table for that peace agreement to be signed? I suspect it has to be signed after a war, when there is a winner and a loser. The way the agreement between Egypt and Israel was signed after Egypt had been beaten thoroughly in a war, and Israel had captured the whole Sinai Peninsula, a big part of Egypt. But Egypt surrendered, and they signed an agreement with Israel over that. But that agreement even cost President his life, that Anwar Sadat, who was killed, assassinated because of signing an agreement. But it has helped Egypt, because Egypt has prospered largely because of that, and then took back territory without having to fight Israel again on a plate which they had lost to Israel. Now, the war is the one thing that can subdue
all these nations
enough for them to come and say, okay, now let us sign a peace agreement.
And you say the war is, because one of you've read that scripture in Ezekiel 38, 22, which says it will involve a nuclear, which again also is spoken in the book of Revelation. When you read Revelation, the book of Revelation, let me read that same verse 18. It says,
chapter 9, verse 18.
It says, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by fire and the smoke and brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. And this is actually how a third of mankind will die, and it will involve all these people who will have come to fight. And when they die and all this happen, they will be fully subdued to come and sit at the table for a ceasefire and for a peace deal.
And also in Zechariah talks about it, where he talks about you know, the nuclear weapons. Of course, described Bible style, where it says people's eyes shall fall out of their sockets and so on. Find us that scripture.
Zechariah 14.
14?
Yes.
Verse what?
14, verse 12. It says, and this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve with while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouth.
That obviously is talking about nuclear weapons.
Yes.
And we are going to see that. All the people who fought against Jerusalem.
Yes.
So, whether we are going to see it now or later is a different thing, but we are going to see it.
See it, yes.
So, but pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Actually, pray for the preservation.
Yes.
Of Jerusalem and for the preservation of the Jewish people.
Yes.
Because the hatred that you're seeing directed towards them is not natural, it's spiritual.
Yes.
Because people who have set their hearts so hard, they almost celebrate the death of Jews. Now, that hatred is not natural, it is spiritual. So pray for the preservation of Israel.
Yes.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it says, may they be blessed who love you.
Yes.
So, and don't think that this is a war, some distant place.
No.
What happens in Israel comes and affects us as a people.
Mm.
So I hope we've added some value to your knowledge of to what's happening in the Middle East. And I hope we've convinced you enough how we need to pray for the Middle East. Otherwise, on that note, I'm going to have to say bye-bye. We've come to the end of this show. God bless you all.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money line, that is +256 780 292 555, or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.